I just completed a weekly study of the word qualification of a disciple. And it's an amazing topic that I discovered in Prabhupada's books and publications and recordings. I mean, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't stop. I was spending 4 hours at a time. My eyes became hurting. I had to stop and rest my eyes because I was addicted to looking at all these quotations that Prabhupada gives on the qualifications of a disciple. What he expects of a disciple. Unbelievable. A treasure house of knowledge. So, if we just take the opportunity to study and be inquisitive to Srila Prabhupada's book, everything will be revealed to us. We just have to have the determination. And Vrindavan is the best place. Prabhupada said it's the place of the Goswamis, who that's what they did. They wrote books and they excavated through Lord Chaitanya the places where Krishna revealed his Leela. Actually, it was Lord Chaitanya who did the excavation through the six Goswamis. Prabhupada says that. I have a nice file called the Six Goswamis. And there's a lot of quotes, unbelievable quotes, about the Six Goswamis, which we probably missed in our reading. So, the first thing I want to discuss, well, actually there's three. My Prabhu here said about the commander-in-chief, that Bhaktisiddhanta is the commander-in-chief, you said? Yeah, he's the commander-in-chief for Prabhupada. But for us, Prabhupada is the commander-in-chief. You have to bring in the disciplic succession. The Gaudiya Math, they always like to leave Prabhupada out of things, you see. But we don't accept that. And this was revealed in a letter that Prabhupada wrote. Very strong letter. It was a letter to Tirtha Maharaj, who is the usurper of the Yogapith property where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his appearance, where Bhaktisiddhanta built the temple and Bhaktivinod found the place. And Prabhupada wanted, when we finally got our land in Mayapur, there was no place for us to live. I mean, it was just farmland. There was no buildings. Even in the Mayapur village, there was no pukka buildings. There were all kacha buildings made of hut mud and thatched roofs. There was no cement. The people were so poor because there were mostly Muslim farmers there when I got there. I think it was 72. So we lived with Prabhupada for a few days. We built a mud hut with a mud floor and a thatched hut. And that's how we lived, you know. And so anyway, I want to read to you this letter that Prabhupada wrote on February 7th, 1969. And he addresses Tirtha Maharaj as His Holiness Tridandi Swami Sri Shima B.V. Tirtha Goswami Maharaj of the Sri Chaitanya Research Institute, at Rosh Bihari Avenue, Calcutta, which was the headquarters in India for that. Prabhupada says, the holy advent of Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. My dear Sripada Tirtha Maharaj, please accept my humble dandavats. Prabhupada was always careful of etiquette, even though there was difference of opinion. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your rubber-stamped circular letter of January 29, 1969, regarding the Golden Jubilee Festival of Sri Chaitanya Math. Previous to this, I heard about it from Sripada Sriman Maharaj and Sripada Jagannatham, and expecting your invitation. I expressed my desire that during the ceremony, a special home for the European, and capital letters, Prabhupada wrote, a special home for the European and American brahmacharis may be established at Mayapur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, meaning Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, desired that such American and European devotees may live at Mayapur for studies of Sri Chaitanya philosophy. And now the time is ripe when many American, European, and Japanese students working as my disciples are ready to go there for this purpose. In 1967, when I went to India, five American disciples were with me. One of them, Kirtananda, Keith Ham, B.A., Bachelors of Arts, was given sannyas by me at Vrindavan. He was sent back to the U.S. way to organize my new Vrindavan scheme in West Virginia. And he is working there along with another of my disciples, Professor Howard Wheeler, Master of Arts, in cooperation with Dr. George Henderson, M.A. and Ph.D. I met George Henderson. He was at Rutgers University. He used to visit Prabhupada back in the early 60s. And others. The remaining four disciples were entrusted to live at the Institute of Swami Ban Maharaj, but on account of his canvassing them for becoming his disciples, they left him. See, that's the Gaudiya Math is expert in stealing away other people's disciples because they can't make them themselves. They don't have the spiritual strength. And this is compared to a cockroach. When you eat something and leave the remnants, who comes to eat it? The cockroaches. Similarly, those who are weak-minded, they become influenced by these people, and doubts are put in their mind about Prabhupada's transcendental position, and therefore they go to another guru, to another guru, to another guru, like prostitutes do. So these kinds of disciples Prabhupada doesn't want. In fact, one of Prabhupada's disciples who was initiated asked Prabhupada if he could be initiated by Ban Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, yes, if you want, go. See, Prabhupada, one who's on the Brahma Bhuta stage, he has nothing to lose and nothing to gain. So Prabhupada didn't care. You want to go, you go. He has nothing to lose. You see, Prabhupada. So this disciple went to Ban Maharaj. Later on, he left. And there was a reason why he left. He told my brother, Brahmananda, that he at night, he was accosted for sexual intercourse at the institute. He wanted to do homosex. with this person he initiated. Incest. Prabhupada called it incest. So just see. These are the people who are, these are demoniac people in the dress of a Vaishnava. In fact, Ban Maharaj had a nickname, not only throughout the Gaudiya Math, he was called the Black Snake. Why? Well, if you know the history, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, under great tribulation, austerity, he sent over his top sannyasis to London back in the 30s with a book written by Professor Sanyal, who was one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. It's called Sri Chaitanya and His Teachings, something like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually a summary study of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. But in actuality, Professor Sanyal didn't write the book. It was written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with Professor Sanyal, who did a lot of the editing. But the book was actually written by Bhaktisiddhanta. The reason why Bhaktisiddhanta put Professor Sanyal, because this book was to be used for preaching in the Western countries. And it's very prestigious to have a professor put one's name on a book like this of Sri Chaitanya's teachings. That would help to encourage people to purchase the book and become interested in Chaitanya's movement. Anyway, he sent Ban Maharaj, he gave them money, hard-earned money back in the 30s. That was depression. That was a difficult time to get money. And then you had to convert it into pounds because rupees is not a convertible currency even today. So he said he gave them and they went there. And actually they really couldn't do anything. They made one old lady a devotee, Miss Botwell, who was useless. You know, she stayed in her house all day, feeble-minded, couldn't really do much preaching. And Ban Maharaj, he just left and took the money, the leftover money with him, and didn't even tell Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he came here to Vrindavan and he started this Maya Institute called the Ban Maharaj Institute, which has of course been taken over by the government, and now it's just a material school, you see. And he used the money for his sense gratification. Bhaktisiddhanta's money he used. At the time when Bhaktisiddhanta was leaving his body, Ban Maharaj came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But the Thakur refused to see him because of his offense. So just see. That's why he earned the nickname Black Snake. You see. So anyway, to go on with this story, the remaining four disciples were entrusted to live at the Institute of Swami Ban, but on account of his canvassing them for becoming his disciples, they left him. Although one of them, Rishikesha, is still living there in care of Ban Maharaj. He was the one that was accosted sexually. And his reinitiated disciple. Two other of my disciples are still at Vrindavan in my place at Radhadhar temple. And Ban Maharaj is still after them to deviate their faith upon me. I have therefore requested Sripad Shriman Maharaj, because you have stopped correspondence with me, and I don't know why. to give some place for my disciples at Mayapur. If I can get some place at Mayapur, the disciples who are already in India and those who are willing to go there can live peacefully without being disturbed by Ban Maharaj. But on my proposing this scheme, Shraman Maharaj, in his letter of 24 January 1969, writes as follows, quote, "On hearing the news of the Golden Jubilee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many people are coming daily to see the place. We can imagine even now how much big crowd will assemble when the actual fair will take place. Although we are constructing many temporary sheds, under the circumstances, I do not think we will be able to give accommodations to your American and European students." Just see. So envious. For the first time in the history of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, thousands of Americans and Europeans want to go to Mayapur, which was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta, and they can't go. They can't be accommodated. Just see. Even after the ceremony, I do not think it will be advisable to call for the American and European students here in Mayapur. So they can't even come after the ceremony. Just see. And those people are following the Gaudiya Math now? Whew. How can you accept such people? Even though we make special arrangements for them, that will not be for many days. Even though you make payment for your students, the other students will feel inferiority complex. Prabhupada was willing to pay their maintenance and still they wouldn't allow. And they said that's because the other Indian students will feel inferior. What a nonsense argument. It's an envious argument. You know very well our standard of living, and therefore not be possible for us to accommodate your European and American students here in Mayapur. The best suggestion which I can give you is that you better rent one house in Vrindavan and accommodate them there for their education in Sanskrit and Bengali. In other words, they did not want Prabhupada in Mayapur. And I know for a fact, because I was there, when they tried to obstruct Prabhupada even getting the land in Mayapur by hiring tantrics to do tantric procedures against Prabhupada and his health. You see, just as they did to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Puri, the whole family got sick from this one tantric who said he was Vishnu. Of course, he was defeated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You see, that's another story. You can't defeat the Lord or his representative. Just remember that. Srila Prabhupada is so kind upon you that he is causing you to act in such a wonderful way. That's Bhaktisiddhanta, he's saying. "And by seeing your activities, I'm feeling very much proud of you," unquote. That's all he could offer. Words, no action. That's Gaudiya Math. Flowery words, but no action. So Prabhupada continues, "This is most discouraging and against the will of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I therefore request you to give me a plot of land within the precincts of Sri Chaitanya Math to construct a suitable building for my European and American students who are loitering in Vrindavan chased by Man Maharaj and who may go in numbers to visit the site of the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can take the responsibility of constructing such a building at Sri Chaitanya Math and bear all expenses for the boarding and lodging of such students who will go there. Shraman Maharaj says that Sri Chaitanya Math is not in a position to meet their standard of living, but that does not matter. If you simply give me the plot of land, I shall arrange everything at my responsibility. See, Prabhupada, he doesn't accept any of their nonsense demoniac arguments, which are un-Vaishnava. They're not Vaishnava. A Vaishnava doesn't treat another Vaishnava like that, especially in fulfilling the desires of the previous acharyas. Another thing is that I have read the pamphlet on the Golden Jubilee Festival, in which you have described very nicely about Swami Bam Maharaj in the matter of his preaching work in Europe more than 35 years ago. That's laughable. But you have not mentioned anything about my humble service right now going on in the Western world. Just see the envy. There are hundreds of letters of appreciation, including from you also, but you have not mentioned even a single line about me in the pamphlet. Why? Personally, I don't want any such advertisement, but why this mentality of suppressing the facts? Will you kindly let me know why you have suppressed so many facts? You have also not mentioned in the matter of Ban Maharaj's preaching work why he was called back from his work in Europe and why the late Goswami Maharaj was sent in his place. If his preaching was so successful, then why was he called back? Don't you know the history? Well, I do, because Prabhupada told me personally the history. So if I know it and they don't know it, there's something wrong there. Something is missing in the brain. Anyway, if you have not mentioned anything about me for one of your proper knowledge about my preaching work in Europe and America, you may now kindly do it and place it before the patrons of the celebration. I am working single-handed without being supported by my countrymen or the government of my country. Prabhupada was a fighter. He was a street fighter. He didn't need anybody's help. He could do it all by himself, and he did it all by himself. For 11 years, there was one remarkable statement by a Christian historian in London, where he remarked, what your Guru Maharaj accomplished in 11 years took Christ 300 years. It took 300 years to develop the Christian religion, and Prabhupada did it in 11 years. The new religion for this yuga in the Western world. Just see how powerful. Prabhupada is more powerful than Jesus Christ. And his disciples were more sincere than Jesus Christ, because when Jesus was captured by the Romans, they all disowned him. They say, I don't know. And one of them got paid off with gold coins to show the Romans where he was living, Jesus. Just see the quality of the disciples during that era of Jesus. So low class. They gave up their own master. You see. And that's how Christianity formed? that's how Jesus was crucified? He was crucified by his own men, not by the Romans. They gave him up to the Romans. Just see. You see? So we have to learn from these things so we don't read, because history repeats itself. We have to learn from these things. So I'll go on with the letter. You know very well that Sri Padmapat Sanghania was ready to spend any amount for constructing a Radha Krishna temple in New York, and you promised to get it sanctioned by the government through Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was at that time president, but you could not do anything. The same Dr. Radhakrishnan is now patron in this celebration. Sri Vishwanath Das knows me very well. Sri Hanuman Prasad Poddar of the Gita Press, that's one of the largest religious presses in India. Everybody knows that press. You see their trucks on the parikrama selling books from Gita Press. He knows me very well about my preaching work in this part of the world. Will you induce them to cooperate in my humble attempt? There are many friends in India who prepare to construct each a temple here if the government sanctions the exchange. But I don't think the government will sanction changing its policy, even though the retired presidents or governors might request this. If it is possible, though, please try to do it now, and you will see that we will have a center in each and every town and village of the world, as it was predicted by Lord Chaitanya. See, Prabhupada was fulfilling the desire of Lord Chaitanya, not his any of his godbrothers. They were content in living in their properties, eating and sleeping. Very comfortable life, no stress, living off the assets of the guru, it Prabhupada called it. Living off the assets of the guru. That's a great offense. Without increasing the assets of the guru. That's what we should be thinking and doing. Increasing the assets of the acharyas by preaching all over the world. You may please bring the following facts to the notice of the patrons of the celebration when the session begins. I have already established the following centers, and Prabhupada lists them with the addresses. This is 1969, and look how many. By 1969, he lists, look at that, 13, 14, 15. 15 centers in 3 years on a brand new religion in the Western countries. Prabhupada was so energetic and so powerful. No one can compare to Srila Prabhupada's power, either now or in the future. Therefore, he's quoted, my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Just see the power of the real acharya. President Hari Grivadas Adhikari, 5,000 copies of Back to Godhead are being published monthly now. And since the demand is increasing, we are arranging to print 20,000 copies starting from next April. This is 1969 only. I was the humble servant of printing the first copy of Back to Godhead in 1966 on the day of my initiation. And I always remember that, because it was the first time in my life that I fulfilled a desire of the acharya. And that's when I realized that that should be the duty for me in my for my entire life, to try and fulfill the desires of the Acharya. And by so doing that, you get the blessings not only of the Prabhupada, but of Krishna. And you will always be protected. So we take knowledge from that. Prabhupada says, you are regularly receiving these copies, both in Calcutta and Madras. And I've also instructed to send copies to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Shraman Maharaj. My books are being published by Macmillan Company, and the first publication is Bhagavad Gita as it is. I am sending a copy of this book for your personal reading by separate mail. Please let me know of your opinion. Dr. Haridas Chaudhary, the president of the Asiatic Society Studies Institute in San Francisco, has opinion as follows, quote, the book is without doubt the best presentation so far to the Western public of the teachings of Lord Krishna from the standpoint of the Vaishnava tradition in India, the standpoint of devotional Hindu mysticism. Just see, in 1969, the best, how many translations were there in 1969 of Bhagavad Gita? Who knows? Huh? No. Oh, now you're guessing. 700, Prabhupada says it in his introduction. You may not have known it because probably they edited it out. Actually, I have a recorded copy where Prabhupada recorded the introduction himself on his tape recorder. It's 3.5 hours long. And that same introduction was used in the Macmillan book. So one day last year, I wanted to show some of the excerpts of that, which was done 6 months before the creation of ISKCON, in February 66. There was no ISKCON. Prabhupada was living in an office building. In an office building. What a place to live, in an office building. There's no shower. There is a bathroom, but no shower. No place to cook. Prabhupada was living there, and that's where he recorded the introduction to the Gita Upanishad. And that was used in the Macmillan publication. So I wanted to show it on the screen, because I made a video of it. Yeah, I made a video with pictures of Prabhupada, and it's subtitled, and you can watch it. And so I told Parvati, get the new Gita and see if you can follow it in the new Gita with the introduction. And it was totally different. She couldn't follow it. So they edited it. They took the greatest words of the greatest acharya in the history of all sampradayas and changed it. What an offense. What an ego that person had, thinking he can do better than Prabhupada. To me, that's the highest form of illusion and maya, is to think that you're better or you can surpass this acharya. That's the highest maya. But it's going on. What can we do? What can we do? We can do what I do, is constantly glorify the real acharya and his real activities constantly, 24 hours a day. And know that Srila Prabhupada is still the acharya, will always be the acharya. And rest assured, I can tell you, in fact, that his movement of ISKCON, because he's non-different from ISKCON, will always be protected by Prabhupada. He will never allow factionalism. He will never allow Maya to enter, because he has the supreme strength, the supreme opulences of Krishna to stop all that. And he has on many occasions. Still, after 52 years, the movement is going on. Whereas other movements have fallen away. You see. Prabhupada continues, besides the above book, my following books are also selling over America and Europe. Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Transcendental Meditation, Easy Journey to Other Planets, Ishupanishad, Brahma Samhita, Nectar of Devotion. These were all printed by ISKCON Press, by the way, by Brahmananda. He was in charge of ISKCON Press. And that was located in Boston. And he used to go back and forth because he was the president in New York at the same time. Just see the energy that Brahmananda had, because he got that energy from Prabhupada, who transferred that energy and empowered his sincere disciples to do what Prabhupada was doing. To be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. That's the ultimate end of Krishna consciousness. You see? I shall send you a copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya as soon as I get copies from Japan in March 1969. Also, Sripada Sadananda Swami, he was the first German to join Bhaktisiddhanta. There's a whole history about him. I think he had to live in a concentration camp in India because he was German and the British were fighting against the Germans in World War II. Has sent congratulations to me through one of his disciples, thinking of my successful preaching in America and Canada and Europe. Please therefore encourage me by your cooperation. That's all Prabhupada's asking. He's not asking for money. Just encourage him for all the work he's done to fulfill the prophecies and desires of the previous acharyas, which they should be interested in, but are not, and never will be, because they're contaminated. Don't try to suppress me without mentioning anything about our efforts in your pamphlet. This will not satisfy Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Please, therefore, try to present the above-mentioned facts before the patrons in the session meeting and induce them to cooperate with this movement in the Western world. I am now a permanent resident or immigrant in the USA. So there is no need of my visa, passport, or P-form trouble for me. I can come and go from India without any formalities. Prabhupada became the Narada Muni of this planet. He could go anywhere he wanted. He had the same powers of Narada Muni, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, just as Narada Muni. Because he was empowered by Narada Muni. If you simply cooperate with me, I can render some service to the fulfillment of the transcendental desire of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The summary is that you have kindly given me a plot of land in the Sri Chaitanya Math for the proposed building. If you want to lay down the foundation stone for this building, during the Jubilee celebration, I am prepared to send the required money for this special. Prabhupada was willing to pay for the marble, for the stone laying ceremony. Or else, on your approval of this scheme, I may go at once to India along with some of my American and European disciples to do the needful. As a bona fide disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and because I'm trying my best to fulfill his holy desire in the matter of preaching work in this part of the world, I have got the right to ask from you a plot of land for this purpose. Just see how strong Prabhupada is. He has the right, yeah, he does. Because he is the next acharya. He's not self-appointed like all the others did. He showed by example, because that's what acharya means, to teach by example, not to rubber stamp your name with these long names, Sri Shivan, 108, Astatara, this, that, and do nothing. You see? No, Prabhupada wasn't a rubber stamp acharya. He did. He was a doer. And he taught us to be doers. And we did. By the end of his disappearance, there was 108 centers all over the world and still going. Just see the power of the true acharya. Now, just like Krishna says to Arjuna, now it is up to you to cooperate with me. Just see. Prabhupada is acting like Krishna. Because that's what Krishna said to Arjuna. Now it is up to you to do your duty and cooperate with me. Prabhupada is revealing again his true identity of being the real representative of Krishna. He's quoting from Bhagavad Gita indirectly. Now it is up to you to cooperate with me. I shall be very glad to receive your reply to this letter. On receipt of your favorable reply, I may start immediately for India to take part in the matter of the foundation stone of the building during the Jubilee celebration. Thank you. In anticipation, affectionately yours, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. What a letter. That letter reveals so much about Prabhupada the person. I mean, this explains everything about who Prabhupada's real identity is just from the letter. What to speak of his books and writings and his recordings. It's a treasure house. But we don't read. We don't study. You see? Instead, we have doubts. We go to this one and that one and this one and who and this and that. And then we get all confused. And then we fall down back into Maya. That's the result. Well, I never lost faith. I always had unflinching faith in Prabhupada and Krishna. And that's how I got to Vrindavan 17 years ago. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I actually prayed after his departure, please arrange it so that I could come here to really study all of your books and recordings. Because I never got the chance while I was with Prabhupada. I was doing so many activities for Prabhupada. He gave me so many assignments. Some assignments I didn't fulfill. And to tell you frankly, when Prabhupada left the planet, I was sad, but I was angry at the same time. I was sad that he left because he used to give me so many assignments. Now who will do that now? He's not here. But I was angry. I said, why didn't you take me with you so I can continue fulfilling your desires in some other planetary system? Why did you leave me here? That's not fair. Of course, I was a neophyte, still am a neophyte, but I think I was less than a neophyte. I don't know if there's a a person who's less than a neophyte, but I was less than a neophyte at that time. So, but gradually I grew out of that, and for the next 15, 20 years, I worked very hard saving so that I could come here just to study Prabhupada's books, his words and everything, until I die. And then whatever I've studied, try them to repeat them to other devotees who either met physically or did not meet physically Srila Prabhupada, just to give them encouragement about the power of Srila Prabhupada and this movement, that anyone who assists Prabhupada, even now, in spreading this movement, will go back to Godhead in this life. That's a fact. So that's my first topic of discussions. My next topic, I was reminded by my dear god sister Mahadevi that today is Mother's Day. So she wanted me to announce, all over, because this is going all over the world, Happy Mother's Day to all the devotee mothers of the world. Continue your service to Srila Prabhupada and your duties as a Vaishnava mother. Thank you very much for your service to Srila Prabhupada. So the next thing is, I want to clarify two points that were made last week or some weeks before. The first one was done by female lady was sitting and wanted to share with us a story that she was on a train and she saw a baby and said, that baby is Krishna. Of course, I had to cut her off and say, well, we're very happy you saw a baby and thought it was Krishna, but we want to hear from Guru Shastra Sadhu, not your opinions. We're not interested. Prabhupada said when you speak an opinion, you should go in the closet. We're not interested in opinions, we're interested in Guru Shastra Sadhu. But I did some research and I wanted to find out where this philosophy where people think they can get in touch with Krishna or Radha so easily. And Prabhupada explains this in this quote. There are many so-called devotees who artificially think of Krishna's pastimes known as Ashtakaliya Leela. You'll find a lot of this in Radhakund. Sometimes one may artificially imitate these. This happened with some of our men about 15, 20 years ago. They dressed up in saris and earrings and lipstick, and they thought they were gopis, and they were imitating the gopis and all this. This is called the Gopi Bhav Club. It actually started back in the 70s when Prabhupada was present. There were 50 devotees doing these things secretly, and Prabhupada nipped it in the bud. But again, it popped up in London. These people would dress up in saris and imitate sahajas. They became sahajas. In fact, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left the body very early in his leela, because he was so frustrated that so many sahajas came out of his movement. Fakers. They didn't want to follow the principles, but think they could jump ahead. Sahajas. So sometimes one may artificially imitate these, pretending that Krishna is talking with him in the form of a boy, or else one may pretend that Radharani and Krishna both have come to him and are talking with him. Such characteristics are sometimes exhibited by the impersonalist class of men, and they may captivate some innocent persons who have no knowledge in the science of the devotional service. So people who go to Radhakund and hear these nonsense stories, they have a poor fund of knowledge. And we pray for their having a good fund of knowledge by studying Prabhupada's books. We should always give them that prayer. So, however, as soon as an experienced devotee sees all these caricatures, he can immediately evaluate such rascaldom. Prabhupada used that word 4,500 times in his books. So it was an important word in his vocabulary. There's other words which I'm sorry I cannot repeat, which are more descriptive, but it would embarrass me and some of our ladies here, so I won't use that term, but Prabhupada did use it. Anyway, if such a pretender is sometimes seen possessing imitative attachment to Krishna, that will not be accepted as real attachment. It may be said, however, that such attachment gives the pretender hope that he may eventually rise onto the actual platform of pure devotional service. This is in the Nectar of Devotion, page 118, I found it. So that's in answer to this young lady who spoke last week. Another aspect that brought out my intuitive and research in Prabhupada's philosophy is that there's a class of people in our society who think we cannot use machines or material things made in the material world in the service of Krishna, because they're products of materialism. So we have to reject them. This came out also some years ago regarding a guru who made a statement, not thinking properly, that Prabhupada's recordings were not Sabda Brahma, because they came from a machine, you see. So I found a quote by Rupa Goswami, in fact. Here we don't use opinions, we go by Shastra. The person who said this obviously didn't read the teachings of Rupa Goswami. He gave his own opinion. Here Prabhupada says, one should not give up anything which can be utilized in the service of the Lord. That is a secret of devotional service. Anything can be utilized in advancing Krishna consciousness, and devotional service should be accepted. For instance, we are using many machines for the advancement of our present Krishna conscious movement. Machines like typewriters, dictating machines, tape recorders, microphones, airplanes. Sometimes people ask us, why are you utilizing material products if you condemn the advancement of material civilization? That's a good question. Now, how would you answer that? Well, Prabhupada gives the answer, like he does all the time. But actually, we do not condemn. We simply ask people to do whatever they are doing in Krishna consciousness. This is the same principle on which in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna to utilize his fighting abilities in devotional service. Similarly, we are utilizing these machines for Krishna service. With such sentiment for Krishna or Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything. If the typewriter can be utilized for advancing our Krishna consciousness movement, we must accept it. Similarly, the dictating machine or any other machine must be used. Our vision is that Krishna is everything. Krishna is the cause and effect, and nothing belongs to us. Krishna's things must be used in the service of Krishna. That is our vision. See, our vision is different from anybody else's, that's for sure. The acceptance and rejection of things should always be in pursuance of devotional principles. Not that one can be independently manufacture some idea of what should be accepted or rejected. The spiritual master, as the visible manifestation of Krishna, the spiritual master, is necessary. Therefore, to direct the devotee on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 14, Devotional Qualifications. You can look it up yourself. So, those are the two things I really wanted to discuss. The next thing is, I have a question for you, which is a very important question, because it reveals, again, Prabhupada's true identity, which sometimes we have a tendency to minimize. For instance, when did Srila Prabhupada accept the title Srila Prabhupada? In what year, why, and when, and the reason he accepted it? Who knows? Yes. Here, take the mic, because then I get phone calls from people. Take this one.
This one ain't gonna come that long. No, it's not gonna.
You put it on the wrong one.
I like to use the black one. Is it? It's a new one. Sorry. Give him the microphone so we don't get angry radio listeners.
I know when, because I asked Govinda Dasi online, she said May of 1968.
Right, very good. So, this is really explained in Brahmananda's book. Why and when did Prabhupada, and the Leela behind it. Because when Prabhupada accepted this name, the worst catastrophe of a conspiracy started against Srila Prabhupada for accepting this title. Although he didn't accept it on his own, but by accepting it, the conspiracy to overthrow Prabhupada's authority in his institution started, and later became visible in 1970. But first we'll read how this Leela happened, and it was told very nicely by Govinda Dasi, because she was in Boston at the time. when this took place, this Leela. And she says, on one particular afternoon in mid-1968, I was sitting in front of Swamiji's desk, taking dictation when Gaurishundar came to the door. He was standing in the open doorway, asking Swamiji some questions about his Sanskrit studies. Swamiji, I have been learning prefixes and suffixes, and I was wondering if it's all right to call my wife, Govindadasi, Govindadas Ji, adding G. You know, in India, when they address someone important, they say, like, the prime minister is addressed as Modi Ji, or this Ji, someone who's greater out of respect, right? You add on the letters G, G, J, I, right? So he asked Prabhupada if he can call his wife that, Govinda Das Ji. So what does Prabhupada say? He says, is that okay? Gaurishundar says, and then Swamiji surprised me with his response. He said, no G. He says, G is a very third class form of address. See, Prabhupada's vision is totally different. That's why I always said Prabhupada's not Indian. He's a transcendental personality. I thought he was Indian, so did everybody else. When I came to India, I realized that Prabhupada wasn't Indian, because not one Indian acted like Sri Prabhupada. That's how I found out that Prabhupada is really a transcendental personality, not from this world. I always looked at him as a visitor, not part of this place. You should not call her Govinda Dasji. It is not very good. Not a very first class form of address. My eyes grew, so Govinda says, my eyes grew wide and I exclaimed, well then how come we are calling you Swamiji? Oh, wow, that's intelligence. You see, that's intelligence. That's the G tacked on the end. What is a better way to address you? So Swamiji very humbly said, oh, it is not very important. It is not a very big thing, this G. So I protested, oh yes, it is a very big thing. To us it is very important. We want to address you in the most respectful and first class manner. Again, Swamiji quietly and humbly said, that's okay, it is not so important. But I insisted, please Swamiji, please tell us what we can call you. She persisted. Please, we want to call you something that's most respectful. We want to honor you in the best possible way. So Swamiji's humility was certainly very praiseworthy, but I was determined to find out the best possible way of addressing him. Since I was unrelenting, Swamiji finally said, well, yes, you can call me Gurudev is nice, or Guru Maharaj is also good, and Srila Prabhupada is also nice. You know, he was saying nonchalantly. Slightly exasperated, I exclaimed, but that these are three names. Which is the best? Again, she's very persistent. What is the best? Which of the three do you prefer to be called? And then Prabhupada, Swamiji, he thought for a moment. Then very quietly and humbly, he replied, Srila Prabhupada is nice. You see? Great. I was greatly relieved. I announced, yes, from today, you shall be known as Srila Prabhupada. I was so very happy to know from him that most respectful way we could address him. Then I proceeded to inform all the devotees and that Swamiji wanted us to address him from now on as Srila Prabhupada. I contacted Satsarup Prabhu as well as others and also sent out letters to all centers. From May of 1968 in Boston, Swamiji became known all over the world as Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol. But that started a very controversial. Yes. You have. There's no. It's ready. There's no switch. Well, I think, I don't know how that came about, but in our conversations, which were quite extensive, we always addressed Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is okay. But the formal is Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the formal way of addressing an acharya, you have to say Om Vishnupad 108, Sri Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. You know, we say the prayers after. That's more, even more proper. But Prabhupada or Srila Prabhupada is acceptable. Srila is just like Sri Krishna. We don't always address Krishna as Sri Krishna. We say Krishna. And sometimes we say Sri Krishna. So the same with Prabhupada. Sometimes we say Prabhupada, sometimes we are more official, we say Srila. Like if we introduce Prabhupada to a mayor or a president, we'll say Srila Prabhupada. It's an official, it's a prefix. But actually there's no difference. But anyway, there was an uproar in India when this happened. This made the God brothers so angry. They said, no one in the history since Bhaktisiddhanta has ever taken this name, Srila Prabhupada. This is heresy, according to the God brothers. But if you read in Nectar of Devotion, there are many Prabhupadas. There's Prabhupada Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada Sanatana Goswami. There's so many. In fact, all the acharyas in the line are called Prabhupada. It's a name that suggests that the person you're addressing is an acharya. And Prabhupada is revealing his true identity. But he did it very humble. He didn't ask. We asked him. So I remember I was in the hut with Prabhupada, along with Brahmananda. I think Jayapataka was there too, Bhavananda. This was later on in 1972 when we finally got the land at Mayapur. The stone laying ceremony was in 73. But then, you know, we had to get the permission to build. Anyway, a delegation of about six or seven sannyasis with their dandas came to the hut. Madhav Maharaj, this Maharaj, and that Maharaj from Gaudiamath came. And they came for a fight that Prabhupada has adopted the name of Srila Prabhupada. This was the end of ends. They couldn't take it. That this person, who was nothing but a grihastha, embarrassed with children and wife, and he takes the name of Prabhupada? While they're big sannyasis? In fact, when Prabhupada used to meet with Bhaktisiddhanta in person, Bhaktisiddhanta would close the door of his room and nobody can enter. They had intimate meetings, Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And even years later, maybe 7 years later, there's a story when Prabhupada came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. There was a couch meant for Bhaktisiddhanta where he would greet people, and he would sit on the couch and people would come for darshan. And Prabhupada sat on the couch, not knowing, or maybe he did know, I don't know. I can't speculate. But he sat on the couch of Bhaktisiddhanta, where everybody was sitting on the floor. You know, and Prabhupada's still a grihastha at this time. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur comes down the stairs and sits on the couch with Prabhupada and doesn't say anything. I mean, that right there shows you, that's an indication of Prabhupada's real position and his closeness to Bhaktisiddhanta. It reminds me of a picture taken in Golden Gate Park in 1967 when Shamsunda carved the first Jagannath. And we brought that Jagannath deity to Golden Gate Park for kirtan. At that time, there was no dresses. It was just painted, like you see in the market. And we put that Jagannath, which was, you know, a couple of feet, 4 feet high or something. They set it next to Prabhupada on equal level. I mean, that picture shows you a lot about Prabhupada's position, that he's the closest associate and representative of Lord Jagannath. Otherwise, why would he allow such a thing? Because subtly, the spiritual master doesn't come outright and say what he is. We have to go by Guru Shastra Sadhu, by saintly persons, you see. So by Prabhupada sitting next to Bhaktisiddhanta reveals a lot about who's the next acharya. Who's going to fulfill the desires of not only Bhaktisiddhanta, but all the previous acharyas up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, who also predicted about Prabhupada in this morning walk.
Thank you. So you're talking about we were one of Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. Why didn't he live there himself? That's what they told him.
So he left it there for me. He loves his devotee more than himself.
What more proof do you need? There it is. Lord Chaitanya knew about Prabhupada 525 years ago because he left the preaching in the West for Prabhupada because he loves his devotee more than himself. There you go. Prabhupada's out showing us his identity as being the representative of Lord Chaitanya. Direct representative. What more do we need? It's all there. He's even predicted by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, his appearance. I've shown you that several times. It's in a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Brahmananda brings it up in his class right here in the temple in Vrindavan.
So the verse here, this verse of Bhagavad Gita is a secret to understanding the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and also Srila Prabhupada. And it's if Krishna 5,000 years ago predicted the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, how Prabhupada connects Bhagavad Gita with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant.
And that's the 6th chapter, verse 42. I'll let you do the research so you get to read Prabhupada's books. But anyway, what's this? Oh. So, very subtly, unless you're a devotee, you won't catch that. And of course, none of us did, because none of us ever brought it up except for Brahmananda. He's the first one to even bring up that verse. And if you read it carefully, the verse and the purport, which is the same as the verse, because whatever a pure devotee speaks, it's not him speaking, it's Krishna speaking through the pure devotee. Anyway, there's immense meanings of Prabhupada being revealing his true identity. I found 3 quotes in Prabhupada's books, the meaning of Prabhupada, where he says, Srila Prabhupada, this is under an outline that someone did on the recordings, 3,500 recordings. He put under brackets in different subject matters. And I also found the quotes. So Prabhupada says, Prabhu means the Lord, and Pada means the position. Thus, one who has taken the position of the Lord. That's the meaning of Prabhupada. I mean, we all think it means that all the Prabhus sit at the feet of the grand Prabhupada. That's also a meaning, a bona fide meaning. But I think this meaning which is mentioned three times in Prabhupada's books, shows Prabhupada's real identity. Then here's another nice verse, or it's a letter, actually, a reply to a letter. The photos of my Murti are very nice. Now, first I gotta let you know, Murtis of Acharyas are never made while the Acharya is present. They're always made after he disappears. But in this case, it's made while Prabhupada is present, and Prabhupada accepted it. In fact, he installed Krishna Balaram with his own Murti on the altar. That's unprecedented. Who could do that? Who could do that? Only one who's a bona fide representative and Shaktavash avatar of Krishna. Only that person can do that. No other ordinary spiritual master can do that. There's a difference between Prabhupada and a spiritual master. You see, most in ISKCON, all of our gurus were not born as Nitya Siddhas, as Prabhupada. Well, he at 4 years old, he's worshiping Radha Govinda. Did we worship Radha Govinda at four? No. Did any of our ISKCON gurus worship Radha Govinda? No. We were all meat eaters. But through sadhana siddhi, through practicing the regulative principles and following Prabhupada's teachings, one can become guru. In fact, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it says everyone should become a guru by following the principles and knowing the science of Krishna consciousness. So to become a guru is not an elite group. We shouldn't make it a factional movement. That's why Prabhupada ordered all sannyasis to live in the temple. But they don't. They have their palaces outside the temple. That's factionalism. That's elitism. And that leads to neophytes saying, well, my guru is better than your guru. And that we don't want in ISKCON. And those who promote that, they're not going to last very long, because Prabhupada will purify them out of the movement, which has happened before with many big ones. One of them had 800 disciples, and I hate to say what happened to him. And another one, he had his head cut off. And the knife that was used wasn't a knife meant for cutting off heads. It was a very dull knife. So it took the guy a half hour to cut the head off while the person's alive. So, I'd be very careful to create factionalism in Srila Prabhupada's movement, because your future doesn't look bright. You see. Actually, the only sannyasi guru that I know, there might be others, but I've seen, is Gopal Krishna. He always stays here. But he's been offered 100 places to go and live, nice houses, but he stays here. So he's following that order. There's a story too with Tamal Krishna. He went outside the compound to chant his rounds. And Prabhupada said, where is Tamal Krishna? And somebody said he went on a japa walk. We called it japa walk. Oh, Prabhupada did not like that. There's no such thing in Prabhupada's vocabulary as japa walk. Although Prabhupada did walk and chant. But the purest form of chanting is done in front of the deity, he said. So anyway, when Tamal Krishna came, Prabhupada gave him a blistering chastisement. Don't you ever, ever leave this compound. Because as soon as you leave the compound, Maya will grab you. This compound is Vaikuntha. It's the spiritual world. So if you leave it, you go back into the material world. And he instructed him never to leave the compound. That's how strict Prabhupada with his servants. You see. So we should also follow that. Prabhupada told me in a letter, the best chanting is done in front of the deity. Not walking around and thinking of other things and chanting. That's not real japa. You sit in front of the deity and you pray. In fact, there's a very nice prayer that I found, which Prabhupada says all devotees should pray. And so now, when I get up in the morning and I open my computer, this is the first thing I look at every morning. The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called in Sanskrit Ashabandha. Ashabandha means to continue to think, quote, because I'm trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back to Godhead, back to home. Nectar of Devotion, pages 116 and 17. In this connection, one prayer by Rupa Goswami is sufficient to exemplify this hopefulness. We all have hope that we'll be successful in Krishna consciousness. Everybody, that's why we're here. We have hope. And Rupa Goswami says, quote, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I'm not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Jana Balabha, Krishna, maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life, unquote. The purport is that under this heading of Ashabandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other he will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Now, isn't that a nice prayer to read every morning? I do it now, since I found it. Because actually, we in relationship to our position in the material world, we don't have any love for Krishna. We have love of ourselves and satisfy our senses. And this is Rupa Goswami saying this prayer, who's the most, he's an eternal associate, and he's feeling this. This is not artificial. This is a Vaishnava feeling. A Vaishnava never feels qualified. Even in the very first film made of Prabhupada in 1966, he tells the filmmaker right in front of him, he said, actually, I was walking in the street and these boys picked me up and they are doing everything. We? LSD? Sex mongers? Perverts? We're doing everything? But this is what Prabhupada said. He's loitering in the streets? We were loitering in the streets. We didn't pick him up. He picked us up. He delivered us. But this is the feeling of a genuine Vaishnava, you see. This is how a Vaishnava feels. And it's not artificial. He actually feels it. I mean, it's hard to understand that, because in the material world, we always want to be puffed up when we have knowledge. We want to show people our prestige, you see, to have prestige and honor, you see. This is one of the things that one feels, you see. And here it is. It's called, do not enjoy the prestige of being a representative of Srila Prabhupada. See? We all have that tendency, because our tendency is to lord it over and become better than anybody else. I do service better than you, Prabhu. You know? I'm better off than you. I can go into Prabhupada's room and you can't. You see? This is all egotism. This is neophytism, to think that way. You see? But that's the general thinking, because we want to lord it over. But here Prabhupada says, this is from Bhagavatam, 7th canto, although a Brahmana or Vaishnava is worshipped as being as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a devotee always remains a faithful servant of the Lord and never tries to enjoy the prestige that might accrue to him from being the Supreme Lord's representative. You see? That's why I gave up sannyas. I couldn't take it. Because I can't accept service from others. It's against my nature. And when you're a sannyasi, everybody wants to offer you service. And I can't do it. I'm sorry. I want to give service to others. I can't receive it. Because my training was to give non-stop service to Srila Prabhupada, and I never accepted that he would give service to me. That was my brainwashing, to give service, not to accept service. And so I took sannyas during Prabhupada's time because it was an adventure. He gave me the most difficult tasks, and I fulfilled them. Some of them I didn't, you see. And that gives me sadness, because I'm not in a position to fulfill those assignments, which I wish I could. In my mind, I think about them, and maybe Prabhupada will have mercy on me by thinking about them, that maybe he'll be kind to me and know that I have a desire to fulfill them, and I'll do them in my next birth. Because I'm not concerned with liberation. I want to fulfill the desires and assignments of Prabhupada, because then you're already liberated. Liberation is the maidservant of a devotee who always thinks of the Lord and his servant. Unflinching faith in Prabhupada and Krishna, then you're liberated. Without any doubts in your mind, you see. Then you advance. And this is supported in Shastra, that we shouldn't take advantage of the prestige or honor. It happened to me in Los Angeles, and boy, did I hate it. I mean, I just sat like this on the floor, because I know that I wasn't the cause of what happened, that Prabhupada was actually the cause. And why is he doing this to me? On the day we moved in to the LA temple after Kirtan, you know, Prabhupada says, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prabhupada. And he goes down the line, Jamuna Devi Kijan. Then he says, Garga Muni Ki Jai, Garga Muni Ki Jai, because I got the temple. And I was shocked. I said, why is he doing it? He wants me to fall down. That's what I was thinking. He's saying my name so I'll think about my prestige. And I hated it. I really did. And I told Prabhupada afterwards, I said, I had to go tell Prabhupada in his room, I said, Prabhupada, please, I didn't get this temple, you did, and you used me to get the temple because it was your desire. I had nothing to do with it. I was just a puppet, and you're the puppeteer. And I agreed to be your puppet. And I told him because I really felt bad that publicly he should do that. Because then I'll be thinking, oh, I'm the lord of all this temple. I mean, I was thinking that way. And Prabhupada, he liked my realization. He said, yes, that is a Vaishnava. So I felt relieved. And I prayed that he would never do that again, because a real Vaishnava just wants to serve the Lord and his devotee. He doesn't want any recognition. And that's why I actually gave up sannyas, because then you get recognition. And I hated it. I just wanted to be a common man. I didn't want any recognition. And even with my brother, he never wanted a samadhi. That was not him, you know. And the idea, after he disappeared, the temple authorities and some other devotees approached me, and they wanted to make a samadhi. And I said, well, that was not Brahmananda's thinking. He never thought, like, he never wanted to be recognized. That was both of our feelings. But I said, if the temple wants to and other devotees want to, then they should do. But I can't give you permission, because that was not Brahmananda's mood of devotion to Srila Prabhupada, to be recognized for the service that he did. He never expected any recognition, you see. That's why he did the worst services that nobody else would do, which was the worst one, was to go to Africa. And nobody wanted to go to Africa in the 70s, especially when they heard that a pujari had her arm cut off by dacoits with machetes who wanted to steal the deities, because they were brass, but they thought it was gold, you know. And Africa in the 70s was wild. And, you know, when the Africans start dancing, that's like a war dance in Krishna conscious. So nobody wanted to go there. It was very difficult in those days. Even Brahmananda tried to get me to go there. I said, oh no, I ain't going there. You know, I'll go where Prabhupada sends me, but I'm not going to go where you are. You know, nobody wanted. And even Brahmananda, when he got there, he preached to the Indians, not the Africans. But when Prabhupada came to Nairobi, he got Brahmananda to preach to the Africans, which Brahmananda was hesitant to do. In fact, I have the drawing that Prabhupada drew to advertise the poster to be put at the University of Nairobi for the African students to attend a program at the university. And it was Prabhupada who had to make the poster. And I have that drawing. And it shows how Prabhupada actually started the preaching in Africa to the Africans, not Brahmananda, it was Prabhupada. See, Prabhupada, he took all risks. So we're not on that level. Prabhupada started the preaching to the Africans, and they came. Hundreds of them came to the program. And then they start, you know, they don't dance with their hands up. It looks like they're running when they dance, like a war dance. But Prabhupada accepted it as a dance of ecstasy. See, a pure devotee has different visions than we do. He doesn't see the negative, he sees the positive. And he always uses the example of the bumblebee. How the bumblebee goes for the honey and the flies go for the stool. You see, those Vaishnavas who see the bad things only and not the good things, they're not real Vaishnavas. We should always look at the good things. But we also, if we do something bad, it has to be brought up. You know, Prabhupada didn't deny, and he chastised those who did bad things, you see. So it's achinta veda veda tattva, one indifferent simultaneously, you see. Because a Vaishnava who's a neophyte like us, we always make mistakes in our devotional service. And it's the duty of the spiritual master to bring up those mistakes and then rectify them. And Prabhupada had a beautiful way of rectifying disagreement. Because we're in Kali Yuga, wherever there's two men, there's going to be a fight. Two opinions. Because we're individuals. So whenever some leaders had some disagreements on some policies, he would bring those leaders in his room. And then he would have each one of them explain their policy to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada would give his opinion what should be done. And of course, both of them would accept Prabhupada's policy. So once that was finished, then Prabhupada would order them to each do dandavats to each other and then embrace each other as God brothers. And then the problem was over, very simply, you see. So we have to think in the Vaishnava way. We have to learn to talk to one another and not just act against one another. You see, talking is better than acting unilaterally. You see, if you have a problem with somebody, or if somebody has a problem with me, I always tell them, if there's something you don't like what I said, come and talk with me. But don't do politics and talk behind my back. Then you're a politician. You're not a Vaishnava. Like one lady, she accused me of something. And when I asked her to tell me what did I do wrong in one of my talks here, she wouldn't tell me. So I thought right away, she's a politician. If you have a problem, tell me. I have open ears. I live in Vrindavan. I'm a man of peace. You know, and I have Shastra to back up anyway. Everything I say, because I put it on the board. Of course, I give my personal experiences with those many times, because I did have personal experience, you know, with Prabhupada on many of the topics that are discussed. So I use those as examples, you know, like this one, you know, about the prestige, how dangerous it is to feel prestige. There's another topic, because I was accused of being a pirater for many years. They said I would copy things and distribute them. For instance, the Veda base. You know, the Veda base first came out in the early 80s. And actually, the quotes I use from Prabhupada's books, I don't use the new Veda base because there may be some editing. I use the old one from the 80s. So you're getting the original unedited quotes when I quote, when you see the quote from the book, because I have the original Veda base from the 80s as well as the new one. And I also have the updated 2015 one, because that one has 150 extra recordings of Prabhupada that have never been seen before or read before. So I have those on the 2015 update. You know. But anyway, for the quotes on the books, because the original Veda base only has Prabhupada's books, none of the recordings. I use the original, so I just want you to know that. So, anyway, they were selling the archives was selling the Veda base for $600. Now, back in the 80s, that's a lot of money. I mean, nowadays, if you add on it 10 or 20 times, you know, that's like 8,000, 10,000 rupees, dollars. Well, who can afford that? Back in the 80s, no one could afford $600. And that's why they, in 10 years, they only distributed 90 Veda bases in 10 years. Nothing. That's 80 a year. Or 90 a year. It's nothing. So, and in the third world, nobody had it. Because that's like 1 year's salary, $600. So I saw it as a prescription for discrimination between rich devotees and poor devotees. And most of us are poor. We're not rich. So, you know, I didn't know what to do. But then one night, somebody slipped a disc under my door and left. And I opened, in the morning I opened and found this disc. It was in a little package. And the disc happened to be a version of the Veda base that had a crack on it that could be installed without the, see, they had a lock. You'd have to put the lock in your computer. It was this big in one of the ports so that the Veda base couldn't be reproduced, and the Veda base wouldn't work unless the lock was put on. I mean, that's how paranoid they were, you know. So me and Brahmananda, we sat down. The company is called Views. Folio Views. They're now bankrupt. Someone told me, I read in a magazine, that they're not around anymore. So we figured at the most, the company would have charged probably maybe $100,000. To put all of Prabhupada's books into this Veda base format. The Veda base format is not meant for reading, but for accessing information. You get it immediately by typing in certain words. And then by typing those words, you will find those words where they appear in every book, in every spoken word, in every written word, you see, in every letter. And then it will tell you all, you press the hit box and it lists all the hits. Like I told you, I typed in rascal and I got 4,500 hits. So that was a big one. Then I typed in the word sex. Oh, boy. I got 8,000 hits. The Prabhupada mentioned the word sex 8,000 times in his books, publications, and everything. So it's interesting. You can type in anything, you know. I type in technical words. I look in the glossary and pick out technical Sanskrit words. And I get tremendous hits from those technical words. That means they're important. And so, anyway, I figured they spent $100,000. So if you add up 900 times 600, that's like $500,000. You know, that's a lot of money, the profit that they made. Now, I have a letter that Prabhupada wrote the archives. Well, two letters. One letter says the archives should charge, the BBT should charge only 20% profit on all its books. And another letter was written about the tapes. He said the tapes should be given free to the devotees, but you can charge to the outsiders, the congregation. But the tape, do you know how much the tapes cost back in the 80s? $3,000. Who's got $3,000 to hear their guru? I mean, a tape costs 50 cents. And they're charging like $2 or $3 a tape. That's more than 20%. So we thought that, you know, the archives is exploiting devotees. And Prabhupada used the word exploiting, that our institution, the BBT, should not exploit devotees' sentiments by overcharging. This is karmic business. This is exploitation. So somebody gave me the copy. That means Krishna wants me to distribute to everybody. And I only charged $10 because I had to do some adjustments on it to get it to work properly. So for that, I was banned, and Brahmananda was banned for 10 years from speaking publicly in any temple of ISKCON all over the world. So we accepted it. We were even banned from accessing PAMHO. Do you know what PAMHO is? It's the ISKCON server for people to talk to each other. We were banned from that. So, I mean, we got banned, you know, that's like for life. Oh, you're banned too? Oh, yeah. So, you know, we didn't care really, because we're servants of Prabhupada. We see, when one accepts Prabhupada's philosophy of the neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness is called Brahma-Bhuta, which Prabhupada says you have nothing to lose and nothing to gain. That's the first realization of Krishna consciousness. If you don't realize that, then something's wrong with you. So me and Brahmananda thought, well, what's the loss? We have no loss. It's the devotees who lose, because we have stories to tell about Prabhupada that nobody else was present to tell those stories. You know? We were even banned from temples, from other temples. We went to one temple, and the temple president said, what are you doing here? We said, we came to do some Prabhupada programs. He said, no, you're not, you're banned. You see. You know, this is one of Prabhupada's temples. So we said, okay. But then we found out that there was a revolution going on in this temple. And people wanted to hear about Prabhupada in the early days. So they gave us a house, these revolutionaries. And we held our programs and everybody came. So what happened was, finally the president relented. He said, okay, I'll let you speak, but you got to come to all the programs. Well, I said, if you come, then I'll come. Because I know he wasn't coming, because he was a tennis instructor. And he wouldn't come back, I don't know, from playing tennis at 4 in the morning. He wouldn't come back till 4 in the morning. So the days he didn't attend, I didn't attend. Because he's supposed to be the example. And he's giving me orders. He shouldn't be a hypocrite. He should follow the orders too. So in the middle, after Guha Puja, which he did attend, but not the Mangal Arati, he asked me, where were you for Arati? I said, well, where were you? He said, well, I was playing tennis. I said, at 4 in the morning? You're playing tennis? And then he just turned red in the face. So, you know, these things go on. Being unilaterally banned without any explanation, to me, is Maya. We should learn to talk with one another and not just act against one another. You see, there should be some substance to our realizations about Krishna conscious. Because Prabhupada used to talk. He didn't act unilaterally against somebody unless it was overly offensive. Certainly, we didn't do anything overly offensive. We gave devotees the opportunity to have Prabhupada's books. You see? That they didn't have to buy the physical books and carry them all over the world. Like the Goswamis, they used to carry their books in bullock carts. Prabhupada said, wherever they traveled to, they put all their books in a bullock cart. Well, is that what we have to do? The Veda base allows you access to all of Prabhupada's books, recordings, and letters without having to carry them. They're right here. If the Veda base was meant for Krishna's and Krishna's devotees. So they should be made available at a reasonable cost, not exploitive. So, anyway, after 10 years I'm here, giving Ishtagoshi, which was inaugurated by the Goswamis at Radha Damodar, where they would meet. And it was started by Prabhupada in 1966. He started Ishtagoshi. And the meaning of Ishtagoshi is given on my advertising. He gave the meaning of Ishtagoshi. And it's right here. Ishtagoshi began in 1966 in New York. Quote, discussion on Krishna topics by like-minded devotees by Srila Prabhupada. He gave that meaning. So if you're not like-minded, then you shouldn't come. You should only come if you're like-minded. Inaugurated by the six Goswamis, because they would meet at Radha Damodar, because they would take their meals there, and that was also their library. Their main library was at Radha Damodar. And they would discuss with each other on what books they were talking about. And that's how Ishtagoshi started. Then it turned into business meetings many years later. Instead of philosophy, it was business. But it's supposed to be philosophy. And, of course, I use Leela Multimedia. We talk on Guru God issues, Grihastha issues, gender issues, ISKCON Guru issues. I mean, there's no issue that we don't discuss because we're not afraid to discuss. We're open-minded, liberal devotees. And we shouldn't be censored for anything that Prabhupada said. If Prabhupada said it, then we can repeat it because it's in his books or in his publications or in his lectures. You see. And then if people have special questions, that's my phone number. We meet every Sunday at 5:30. And you can attend. And after the class, which is now, I ask for questions. And one of the qualifications of a disciple is to be inquisitive. Don't just accept what Prabhupada says blindly, but ask questions, you see. And I'll try to answer them according to what Prabhupada says in his books. I won't give my opinions, you know, but I'll try and answer from the books that I've read and the quotations of the books. I have thousands of quotes from Prabhupada on different matters, even on the histories of India. Prabhupada told me the whole history of the Britishers and the Moguls and this and that. Like he said, Hindi is not an Indian language. It's actually Islam language. It was brought by the Mughal Empire, who ruled India for 800 years. The Sanskrit is in English. We don't find Hindi in any Vedic Shastra. It doesn't exist. Sanskrit or even Bengali. The Goswami, Prabhupada told me that Bengali is 95% Sanskrit. Huh? Well, Prabhupada didn't say that. That's the Shiv Sena. They say that. But Prabhupada didn't say that. Prabhupada said Bengali. And the Goswamis didn't write in Marathi. So, we got to go by Guru Shastra Sadhu, not your opinion. You got to go in the closet for that. That's what Prabhupada said, not what I said. So anyway, we'll end tonight. And I have many new items to discuss next week, especially on the qualifications of a devotee. What are we supposed to do as a disciple for our guru? Not just Prabhupada, but your initiating guru. Most of you, how many of you are initiated? Raise your hand. Okay. You're initiated. So what do we do? So Prabhupada gives a whole list of the qualifications of a disciple. And we'll discuss those. So anyway, is there any questions for tonight? If you have any questions, you can ask. There's a microphone you can pass around. Yes, sir. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes.
Prabhupada gave that in a letter, in a newsletter to all temple presidents, as well as GBC and sannyasis. He said every temple president, every sannyasi, and every GBC must become my prototype. A prototype means identical. They have to live the identical life that Prabhupada lives. And Prabhupada showed us how he lives. His door wasn't closed, his door was open. He didn't lead a secret life. He didn't go off secretly someplace. He was an open book. So he said, you must become my prototype, and then the temple will run very smoothly if the devotees see the leaders following everything, then they will follow. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it says, whatever great men do, the common men will follow. That's Shastra. So, does that answer your question? Very simple.
Yes, it does, not in details, but, you say...
Well, it's a simple... You know, whatever Prabhupada did, I have a section here called Temple Activities. We can see, well, he says, beware of power politics within the temple. We should dance with raised hands like the Panchatattva. You know, they're swinging around like girls. I didn't see Lord Chaitanya do. Yeah, twirlers. I call them twirlers. Prabhupada says dance with raised hands like Panchatattva. Very simple. Of course, Prabhupada did allow persons to dance in ecstasy, but not twirling around and bumping into people, you know. Devotees should be accorded best comforts. That's up to the temple president. And as a temple president in several temples, I did that, especially Los Angeles, there's 150 devotees. The most important thing was cooking prasadam, healthy prasadam. So one day I asked Prabhupada, what is the healthiest diet for Sankirtan? Please tell me. So his first thing is chapatis and dal, because you get your protein and vitamins. Next is vegetables. And fourth, rice only for a filler. If you eat your chapatis and dal and vegetables and you're still hungry, then fill the rest of your body with rice. Now, if you go to a Gujarati home and eat prasadam, they don't give you the rice until after you eat. Yeah. You first eat chapatis and a couple of sabjis and dal, and then they bring a little katori of rice and you're already filled up. You don't feel like eating it. And then they pour a whole bunch of ghee on the rice. So they don't even eat the rice till the last. You see. Because rice really has no vitamin inside. It's used as a filler. You see. In fact, I've been on because my body is changing, I'm 70. I've stopped eating rice now for 2 months and pasta. And I completely have seen a different change. I don't say you should do that, but elderly people should do that. And your body changes completely. You can tolerate heat. It's hard to tolerate cold. But you just eat a couple of fried items and you get warm. Just in the winter, not in the summer. So you have to... Prabhupada said that Krishna created this body perfectly. It's perfect. He can't create something imperfect. We make it imperfect by the food that we eat or by eating the food at the wrong time or how much we eat. Prabhupada said, you fill the belly 50% of what you're hungry for, 25% liquid and 25% empty. And then you'll never get sick, he said. So that's up to the person, how much he can fill the belly. 50, of course, Brahmananda had a big belly, so his 50% is different from your 50%. You see, so it's individual. But he said that's the perfect way of not getting sick, because we don't want to get sick in Krishna consciousness, because then we can't serve. You see? But then about the management is final. Whatever the temple president says, you have to accept, because he's been appointed. The management should be based on the order of the spiritual master. So that's important. Then there's the meaning of temple worship. Money given to Krishna should be used properly. I'm just stating some of the headings that Prabhupada mentions. We can go into detail later. There must be bhav in temple worship. In other words, we shouldn't do the temple worship as a ritual. There must be some love involved. If we just do it as a ritual, like one friend told me, he goes to Banka Bihari and the man's talking on the telephone while he's doing the aarti. Of course, that temple's run by the government because the Goswamis were killing each other, you know, for the assets of the deity. That's why I never go there. Prabhupada never went there. It's not in our line. It's a Mayavadi temple, actually. But people go there because the rumor is that deity gives material benefits. That's why people go there. But we don't go to the deity for material. But we go to the seven main temples of the Goswamis. That's it. You see. So no gems or jewelry for the deities, because people will steal them if there's gems or jewelry. Gems or gold. Preaching more important than managing. Sikh devotees must be maintained by the temple. These are Prabhupada's words. Srila Prabhupada for polishing deities before the morning bath. The deities should be polished before the morning bath, like as for brass deities. Srila Prabhupada negative on business. Srila Prabhupada warning on temple worship. Two parallel lines for maintaining temple life. He gives two parallel lines. Worshipping in temple to invite Krishna, and don't close the temple. Because we are inviting Krishna and then we're kicking him out. That's an offense. We can move the deity, but not close the temple. You see, that we can do. We can move it to a different section of town. Anyway, these are just some of the headings about temple management. You see, you know. Also, this is very controversial and very difficult to understand, but a pure devotee is never in a diseased condition. So how do you explain Prabhupada lying on his bed in a so-called diseased condition? So, first of all, Prabhupada said sometimes Krishna makes him sick for testing the GBC because he gives them some independence. So he didn't get sick because of karma. He wasn't born out of karma. He was born a pure devotee. Certainly he didn't produce any karma. And he doesn't suffer any karma. Now, that's why Lord Chaitanya said in Kali Yuga, one should not accept too many disciples. we shouldn't imitate Prabhupada and accept too many disciples if we're a guru, because we have to absorb their sins. And because we're not born a Nitya Siddha, we're going to suffer those sins. And many gurus at a very young age are suffering from many diseases because they accepted disciples who are not following the principles. And all of that comes on them. You see? So that's why it's recommended not to accept too many disciples in this age of Kali Yuga. Because even people get initiated, how do you know they're following the rules and regulations? You don't. Of course, Prabhupada accepted many, many, because he was immune to any reaction, being a Nitya Siddha Shaktavashavatar. But we can't imitate that, you see. Here it says, pure devotee never sick or diseased. And Prabhupada talks about this. One may argue that we may see a person who is spiritually engaged 24 hours a day, but is still suffering from disease. That means he has a disease, but it doesn't stop him from serving Krishna 24 hours a day. That's a Shaktavashavatar. An ordinary person, when he gets sick, he stops serving Krishna. You're in bed. In fact, however, he is neither suffering nor diseased. Otherwise, he could not be engaged 24 hours in a day in spiritual activities. So although it appeared Prabhupada was in a disease condition, he was non-affected by the disease because he was engaged. You look at him lying on the... he was lying on the bed translating at the time of his disappearance. Let's see if I have... Here it is. What does this look like to you? Look at that. Prabhupada weighs 30 kilos only at this time. A person in this state would be in a coma, doctors say. If Prabhupada wasn't in a coma, what's he doing? That's a dictaphone. Yeah. And this is Pradyumna reading the Sanskrit and Prabhupada giving the translation while he's leaving his body. Now you tell me that Prabhupada's an ordinary person. This proves he's an Akshaktavashavatar. He's diseased. He's on the verge of leaving his body, but he's engaged 24 hours in Krishna service. He's unaffected. This proves his true identity right here. We got a picture of it. You can't deny it. We can't do that. I don't think there's any guru in ISKCON that can do this. Weigh 30 kilos and translate with a clear mind. And ordinarily every doctor said when they see this, they said he should be in a coma, unconscious. A pure devotee Saktavasartar, he's never unconscious, he's always conscious of Krishna. So this picture alone explains Prabhupada's actual position in this world. So in fact, however, he's neither suffering nor diseased. Otherwise, he could not be engaged 24 hours a day in spiritual activities. The example may be given in this connection. Prabhupada gives an example that sometimes dirty foam or garbage is seen floating on the water of the Ganges. This is called Nirodharma, or a function of the water. But one who goes to the Ganges does not mind the foam and dirty things floating in the water. With his hand, he pushes away such nasty things, bathes in the Ganges, and gains the beneficial results. Therefore, one who is situated in the spiritual status of life is unaffected by foam and garbage. Boy, that's advancement. Or any superficial dirty things. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Quote, a person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words is a liberated person even within the material world, unquote, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, one is forbidden to regard the guru as an ordinary human being, Gurushu Naramatir, Narakisa. The spiritual master Acharya is always situated in the spiritual status of life. Birth, death, old age, and disease do not affect him. According to the Hari Bhakta Vilas, therefore, after the disappearance of an Acharya, his body is never burnt to ashes, for it is a spiritual body. The spiritual body is always unaffected by material conditions. That comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 4, Verse 20. So, now you can understand that Prabhupada wasn't suffering at all. Although it appeared to our material eyes that he was diseased, but he wasn't diseased. I mean, look at Krishna. When Krishna left the planet, he got shot in the heel with an arrow. That can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the entire universe? No. It was his time to leave the planet. So Krishna deliberately left as an ordinary person to delude the atheists into thinking he's an ordinary person. Similarly, Prabhupada finished his mission. He came to the West, left his books, came back to India, left his legacy here in India with these temples. His mission was completed. He did more than what Bhaktisiddhanta told him to do. 10 times more. No, actually Prabhupada said 100 times. He said, I've done 100 times more than my Guru Maharaj. Now who can say that? Only a Shaktavish avatar can say that. That he's done more than his guru? That's a heavy statement. But Prabhupada said it. And he said he had double the energy of his Guru Maharaj. Well, that we know. Prabhupada was never called a 75-year-old old man. Even in the Karmis called him a 75-year-old young man. If you read the newspaper articles. So we have to distinguish between Acharya, spiritual master, and disciple. That has to be. They're not all one. They're one in different simultaneously. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna.
This question has been going around my head for a long time now, and I just feel so free to ask it today. So I hope you won't mind my asking.
No, go ahead.
In the current scheme of things, gurus nowadays are appointed by the GBC. do we consider this rubber stamp?
Well, Prabhupada, I have my original sannyas lecture. And Prabhupada said, when you take sannyas, that doesn't mean you are sannyas. So in the beginning, it is rubber stamp, but then you have to prove your sannyas by following the sannyasi rules. You have to prove it. So becoming a guru, at first, it is a rubber stamp. First of all, you're elected, which Prabhupada says only Krishna can elect a acharya or guru. We don't follow the system of popism. Do you know popism? And to elect a pope, they get all these gay cardinals together, and they find out amongst the gays who's the best gay. And then they have the smoke that arises, and millions of people are waiting outside looking for the black smoke or the white smoke. And that's how they choose a pope, by smoke. Well, that's not the Vaishnava system. You know? You have to prove. With Prabhupada, he proved he was the acharya, not by rubber stamp, but following his Guru Maharaj, fulfilling the desires of his Guru Maharaj. That makes you guru. It's not a formality. Actually, Prabhupada didn't get initiated till 10 years after he met his Guru Maharaj. Does that mean he was in Maya for 10 years? No. He was contemplating. Even when his godbrothers criticized him that Bhaktisiddhanta gave you the order in 1922, why didn't you go and do it? Why did you wait 40 years? They say like that, to put doubts in the minds of the devotees. Well, because Prabhupada had a plan to make lots of money, and by doing that, he could go to America. You can't just go to America with no money in your hand. Actually, he did go to America with no money. He had 40 rupees, and he couldn't change those 40 rupees because America wouldn't accept them, because it's not a convertible currency. Even now, if you go to America and bring your rupees, you can't convert them, because it's not a convert. You can convert yen or the pound. Those are convertible currencies, but not the rupee. You have to come back to India to reconvert them. That's why Mr. Modi gave the NRIs till June 30th to convert their old bills, 500 rupee notes and 1,000 rupee notes, into new bills. They can't do it in America. They have to come back to India. So, anyway, so what was your question again?
This appointment of gurus.
Yeah. So in the beginning, they're appointed. So then they got to prove their guru by fulfilling all the acharya's desires, all the previous acharya's up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see. And if they do that, then they're bona fide guru. You see. So we have to expand by having gurus. Prabhupada wanted gurus, but he wanted gurus that were qualified. And I have a whole section on the qualification of a guru. One of the qualifications is a guru doesn't sleep. Because sleep is Maya, Prabhupada said. So if Prabhupada's telling us sleep is Maya, and then he himself sleeps, that's hypocrisy, right? Well, that means Prabhupada didn't sleep. He was in samadhi. because the mind doesn't sleep. Consciousness doesn't sleep. Consciousness is always awake. So although your body may be inactive, your consciousness is Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. That's not just a title. That's a fact. A guru must be 24 hours a day thinking of Krishna. That means he doesn't sleep. Because sleep is maya. Sleep is like when I go to sleep, I can't remember anything. I'm unconscious. And that's why I'm not a guru. So before becoming a guru, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that the person who becomes a guru must first conquer the tongue, the sleep, and sex, the genitals. He must have full control. And the qualification is you don't sleep. Because you're engaged 24 hours a day. Prabhupada didn't just say that. He meant it. So you got to ask your guru, are you sleeping or are you in samadhi? Do you sleep at night or are you in samadhi thinking of Krishna? That's a qualification. I didn't give the qualification, Prabhupada did. I can show you the quote.
Would it be an offensive attitude by asking that question?
No. It's not an offensive because you're putting your faith and your life into one person's hand. You expect to get some return out of that. You didn't just want to follow someone blindly, especially when half of our gurus have fallen down. You know, we have one of them who was watching porno for 35 years. Do you want to put your faith in that person? Are you going to go back to Godhead with that person? No, you're going to hell with him. If you follow a person who is not qualified to be a guru, not only does he go to hell, but you go to hell too. So you're putting your life in this person's hands. You got to be sure he's bona fide. You see? Because that's a guru means you got to surrender everything, mind, body, intelligence, money, everything you give to the guru. That's what I did when I saw Prabhupada. I gave him everything I had. Then I asked him for a set of Bhagavatams. He said, oh no, that cost extra. I said, Prabhupada, I just gave you everything I had. But he was teaching me a lesson. Don't be puffed up. Just because you give something to Krishna, and Krishna doesn't need your money, don't be prestige. Prestige, have the prestige. Oh, I gave everything, therefore I demand service from Krishna. Give me your books. Prabhupada was teaching me a lesson. So I went out, begged for the money, and brought it. In every teaching and action of the spiritual master, there's an instruction, but you have to have the intelligence to see it. Just like I experienced the worst. I got kicked out of ISKCON in 1970 due to that conspiracy. I was part of that. Somehow. Prabhupada says in a letter it was unconscious, but still, somehow I was part of that. So I got kicked out of ISKCON, but I didn't lose faith in Prabhupada. I still fulfilled his order. I opened up temples and made devotees. I opened up two temples that are still going on 40 years later. And in Coconut Grove, Florida, and in Gainesville, Florida. So I still fulfilled his desire, even though I was ejected from his association and from ISKCON. But I didn't lose faith. I had unflinching faith. And actually, doing that, Prabhupada gave me the best years of my life, because I actually had to live the life of a mendicant sannyasi. I had to beg for food. And I came from a 22-bedroom, 8-bathroom house in Stamford, Connecticut, with my own lake and island and swimming pool. It used to belong to the president of GE, General Electric, the biggest corporation in the world, $200 billion enterprise. And my father bought his house. We were one of the first ones in the 50s to have an electric garage. Nobody in America had electric garages. We did. You press the button in the car and the garage goes up. When people saw that, they said, wow, how'd you do that? Back in the 50s. So I came from that, but then I was willing to sleep outside in 30-degree weather. That's Fahrenheit. That's really cold. That's like, I don't know what it is in centigrade. But I had to do that. I had to beg for food on the beach in Florida. You see? Because the life of a sannyasi is not to live in a palace and have 10 women cooking for you. That's not sannyas, that's grihast. That's like living like a king, not a sannyas. A sannyasi has to be independent. He doesn't depend on people to feed him and house him. He's independent. And Prabhupada gave me that opportunity to live like a real sannyasi, which many of our sannyasis have never experienced, because they all get plane tickets, they all have places to sleep and eat. They get served like kings. Well, that's not sannyas. Sannyas is like the Goswamis. They slept in the caves of the alligators. I didn't have to do that. But I was close to it. So actually, what Prabhupada did to me was a boon. See, whatever the spiritual master does increases your Krishna consciousness. It doesn't decrease, even if he bans you from his association and from his society. You can actually advance in Krishna consciousness if you have unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna. Otherwise, you'll fall down. So I got that mercy. Any other questions?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu.
I hope that satisfies you. Hare Krishna.
I just talked previously about Sri Prabhupada accepting the title Sri Prabhupada.
Yes.
And you said about his brothers are coming to Mayapur.
Yeah.
You with him to challenge him.
So, oh, yeah. So they came in a delegation. There was about 5 or 6 of them, all the big ones with their dandas. And they said, we're very concerned that you have taken the name Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, I didn't take the name. They called me that. And then Prabhupada showed him his letterhead. On his letterhead, it didn't say Prabhupada. It says His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. It didn't say Prabhupada. So he said, they gave me that name. And which is true. Prabhupada gave 3 names. Guru Maharaj, Guru Dev, or Prabhupada. And then we kept persisting. Well, out of the 3, which is the best? So he thought, okay, Prabhupada, because that's bona fide. If you're an acharya, every acharya uses that name Prabhupada, and it's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. Yes.
I see this still going on because...
Oh, it is.
2 days ago, I received one newsletter with the title of this one, one lot, you know, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Swami, Prabhupada, capital letter, and no Prabhupada.
Yeah. No. Even when Prabhupada came to India during the 70s, none of them addressed him as Prabhupada, they addressed him as Swami Maharaj. You know. So when Prabhupada did that, I mean, that brought, and it brought doubts in his devotees who left the movement and joined the Gaudiya Mutt because they got poisoned. Yes.
Can we say that it was Srila Prabhupada's challenge to be killed, the enemy?
No, actually no. He never considered his godbrothers as enemies. I was here when he invited them to come to America and he would pay for their air tickets. He told Sridhar Maharaj, he told them all, I will pay for your air ticket. You go preach in America. But none of them, they were so envious, they couldn't even do that. No, Prabhupada was merciful towards his godbrothers. I mean, can you imagine that? The people who hated him, he loved them as a Vaishnava. He said, I will pay for your air ticket. You help me. You come to America, preach in the temples, and I will pay for your ticket. And they said no. I mean, that revealed where they are. They weren't interested in spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. Otherwise, they would have gone. But their hearts and minds are so envious, it blocked them from the real purpose of being a sannyasi and a guru, which is to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. Not be concerned whether you're Prabhupada or not Prabhupada. That's not your concern. Your concern is to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. Yes.
Not only say that the fulfilling will not have
teaching. Yeah, because Prabhupada's not here. Oh yeah, it's easy to do that. Why didn't they do it when Prabhupada was here? Because now they can steal Prabhupada's disciples, which they have done, by implanting in their brains poison. But they at that back in the 70s, they didn't have the brain substance to make devotees. Even in their own temples, they couldn't get people to do pujari work. They had to hire some Brahmin to come because they couldn't create their own. So that's why they're cockroaches. Because they scoop up the remnants left by the Vaishnava. So those devotees who never had faith in Prabhupada, they're like cockroaches, and the Gaudiya Mutt scooped them up because they lost faith in their guru. But then they're going to lose faith in him also, just like what happened with Narayan Maharaj. You see the split there, because the guru that was appointed the Acharya did an exorcism in Italy with two naked women, putting oils on their body. So the foreign devotees separated from the Narayan people. Now it's finished. And now they've lost faith in Narayan, they're going to go find someone else. They're prostitutes. I call them prostitutes because they go from one to the next and they'll never have faith. They had the chance with Prabhupada, but they threw it away. And who knows when they'll meet another Shaktavash avatar in their life. They may have to wait 100,000 births. We now have the chance, so don't throw it away. Use your brain, use your intelligence, and then you'll succeed in Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada will bring you back to Godhead with unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna. Don't change. Prabhupada said, you Americans change too much. You're fickle. We like change. Yes. Yes.
I was talking to a Catholic priest in Mysore. Never happened to me to talk, I'm from Italy. So I was curious to talk to an Indian Catholic priest. And we talk about many things and Hinduism. And he was not very, of course, not very appreciative. And then he said one thing about history. Not because he appreciated much history, but as a matter of fact, he said, ISKCON is the only movement that has a systematic philosophy.
That's why?
He said about Hinduism, ISKCON is the only movement that has a systematic philosophy.
Because we have disciplic succession and they don't. They have no disciplic succession because they appoint a pontiff by using smoke. They're smokers. Yeah. I mean, the last pontiff, he resigned. The German one, that's the first time. Do you know why he resigned? Because of the gay clique. See, he's an intellectual. He's a writer, the German, I forget his name. Yeah, the Pope. What was his Pope name?
Benedict.
Yeah, Pope Benedict. He resigned because of the gay clique put pressure on him. Because he wanted to reform the gays. And now this new Pope, he accepts the gays. He was asked about the gay priest, and he said, "Who am I to judge?" And Pope Benedict's secretary, you know what he did? He released the files of the known 6,000 pedophiles in the church and of the secret island in the Caribbean where they were sent to for reformation. And then sent from there to places in the Arctic so they wouldn't be in the public's eye where they can do their pedophilia without being arrested. They were never ejected. They were just moved around a lot. And he released that to the press and he got arrested for it. I think the trial's still going on. Yes.
Prabhu, going back to my question a while back.
Yes.
In a situation where you finally realize that your guru does not fall within the standards set forth by the acharyas, what should an example
do? Well, Prabhupada said if a guru doesn't follow the acharyas or previous acharyas, that he can be rejected. And then what do? You have Srila Prabhupada's books. You've already been inducted into the Sampradaya. And what you can do, because our movement is not a diksha movement, it's a shiksha movement. So you can ask advanced devotees for your Krishna consciousness. Other gurus, temple presidents, GBC, someone who you think is advanced in Krishna consciousness to guide you. But you have Prabhupada's books. They're the perfect guide. You don't need to get reinitiated because you've already been initiated, and the proof is Agni. Agni Dev is the witness to your vow of being inducted into the Sampradaya for eternity, because fire is eternal. When we do the ceremony, we don't do the ceremony because of the person. We do the ceremony because of the fire. Do we throw the ghee at the guru and throw the grain at the guru? No, we throw it in the fire. we're worshiping Agni because he's the witness to your induction into the Sampradaya for eternal life. So you've already been initiated, but you could seek out other Shiksha gurus for questions and answers. But there's no need to get reinitiated. Like, Prabhupada left, does that mean I get reinitiated? No, of course not. I still have Prabhupada's teachings. So similarly, your guru reads Prabhupada's books, you read Prabhupada's books, so you use Prabhupada's books as your guide. And I'm telling you, everything is in Prabhupada's books to become Krishna conscious. You don't need another guru. And Prabhupada says there is no successors. This is what he says. I found the quotes. Prabhupada, someone asked a question. When you leave this material world, will there be another spiritual master after you? Another pure soul? And Prabhupada said, then that spiritual master is Krishna himself. There is no need of education. Everyone is free. Everyone is full knowledge. There is no need of spiritual master. Morning walk. Prabhupada says, when the spirit in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, when the spiritual master leaves, immediately Chaitanya Guru reveals himself within the heart of the disciple, if he's sincere. And Chaitanya Guru will give you dictation. That's how I got to Vrindavan.
Thank you very much.
Because Prabhupada came to me in a dream 17 years ago. I was making money. You know, I was making profit, $2,000 a day, living in a house with an Olympic swimming pool. I had a Corvette, a Porsche, I had everything. But I was saving my money to one day go to Vrindavan, but I didn't know when I should go. And then finally, at the age of 52, or 53, I forget, 51, Prabhupada came to me in a dream and said, stop what you're doing. All that you want is in Vrindavan. And I just liquidated my business, gave all my furniture to my relatives. Lucky I got rid of my wife. Actually, she got rid of by herself because the police arrested her for domestic violence because she bit me. And I had her arrested, so I didn't have to pay any money. Because in the state of Florida, if the spouse is arrested for domestic violence, you don't pay any money. So, because she bit me, the scar is still there. I showed it to the police, and they arrested her. So I was a free man. I gave up the business, gave up the wife, and I came right to Vrindavan. So that shows you that Prabhupada is there, Krishna is there in the heart guiding you. Even after how many years Prabhupada left in 1977, I came in 2000. That's what, 15 years? What's the, how many years?
17.
Yes.
17.
So 17 years I came.
Due to
Prabhupada, because he never leaves you. And he wrote me that in his last letter. He says, as my Guru Maharaj is eternally guiding me, I will be eternally guiding you. It's written in my last letter. I read it last week. Garga Muni's last letter. So, Prabhupada is there for you. You've accepted Prabhupada as your acharya. So you have as much a relationship with Prabhupada as I do. Because it's based on sound vibration. Vani. And Prabhupada said Vani is better than Vapu. Why? Because sometimes Vapu is accepted, but sometimes it's rejected. And many of Prabhupada's personal servants fell down because of envy, and other reasons. They thought that Prabhupada needed their service, but actually Prabhupada depends on Krishna's service. And many of them fell down. Yet they had all the association with Prabhupada. So that proves that sometimes Vapu is good, but sometimes it's bad. Because Prabhupada says, familiarity breeds contempt. If you get too familiar with the guru, then you become contemptful. You think he needs you, but he doesn't need you. You need him. You see? There's very few servants that remained humble. One is Shruti Kirti, Harisari. They remained humble. But there are many others that fell down. Yes.
Oh, by the way, Prabhu, is it still possible to get a copy or to purchase a copy of your $10 bill base?
Yeah, you gotta come to my house because you gotta bring your computer because there's some compatibility issues. I have to make adjustments. So I have to install it. And I can install the original. As well as I have to install the base one, the 203, and then I can add on to it the old one and the 2015 one. And you can get my brother's book if you want to know the history of ISKCON without any flaws or rumors. It's 500 rupees. And I give you free CDs with it of Prabhupada's lectures. It's 500 rupees.
Oh, I want a copy of my CDs.
Yeah, well, you didn't get it from me, that's why. Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
I admit, and sorry, but I'm a little confused by this.
Well, wait, let's read some more then. We'll unconfuse you. So I looked up the word successor. I got very few hits. This is the first one. Second one. Reporter, what will happen to the movement in the United States when you die? Prabhupada, I will never die. Devotees say, Jai, Haribo. Prabhupada, I shall live from my books and you will utilize. Reporter, are you training a successor? Prabhupada, yes, my Guru Maharaj is there. He's the successor, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. You see, I mean, Prabhupada is excellent. See, everybody wants a successor because that's politics. You see, that's popism. But Prabhupada is not influenced by popism. Where's my photo of Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada says. I think here he is. This is at a press conference. Another quote. Reporter, you don't see any slowing down of the impact of, Prabhupada says, no. It can be slowed down unless we spoil it. Is there anyone who is designated to succeed you as the primary teacher of the movement? Prabhupada says, I am training some, I mean to say advanced students, so they may be very easily take up the charge. I have made them GBC. They were supposed to manage the society. They are under my direct training, and I think they will be able to conduct this movement. Reporter, do you expect to name one person as your successor, or have you already? That I am not contemplating now. But there is no need of one person, as other things are managed by committee, so this can also be managed, and the committee may elect one person as chief. As just like in the democracy, there are senators, and there is a president, so it may be I may nominate or they can nominate. That's in 1976. Interviewer, another quote. What happens when the inevitable time comes when a successor is needed? Rameshwar, he is asking about the future. Who will guide the movement in the future? And Prabhupada says, they will guide. I am training them. Interviewer, will there be one spiritual leader, though? No, I am training a GBC, 18, all over the world. Rameshwar, his personal secretaries. Interviewer, I see. Rameshwar, to see the original teachings that Prabhupada has given are not in any way changed. You see, now this one boy from Brazil said last week, they're inviting gays and they're doing gay marriage. Oh boy, what Prabhupada says about that, that'll blow your mind. Yeah, 18 GBC. It was represented geographically, not exactly by person, but by geographic conditions. Prabhupada chose. Interviewer, another quote. I was wondering if he had a successor to do. Do you have a successor to take your place when you die? Prabhupada said, not settled up. Again, Prabhupada says, not yet settled up. Prabhupada, we have got secretaries. They are managing. Rameshwar, he has appointed from all over disciples a group of secretaries, each one in charge of a different sector of the world. Interviewer, how many secretaries? Presently, there's 18. Prabhupada says, I am training each one to expand. That's, again, I think a repeat. Interviewer, another one. Now we understand your divine grace that at this point in time you are the titular or actual head of the Krishna movement in the world. You have no successor when you move into another dimension. That from the masses, from the disciples you have throughout the world, someone will rise to take your place when you move to another world? Not someone, but so many. Because I am teaching all the students to work in future. I may die, but the movement will go on because all these young boys and girls, they are complete in knowledge of this Krishna conscious movement. So it cannot be stopped. Interviewer, oh no? No, no, we did not mean that it would be stopped or cease at any time, but someone will succeed you. But you say many will. No, why someone? Many will succeed. I don't have a date for that because that's a new transcript that was just released. Hanuman, that's Hanuman Swami from South America. He says, one thing he's saying, this gentleman, I would like to know, is your successor named or your successor will be? And Prabhupada says, my success is always there. See, Prabhupada, he won't do politics. Because as soon as you name a successor, then there's politics. Look what happened to Narayan. They named a successor, and he went out and broke the rules and did an exorcism in Italy with two naked women rubbing oil all over their bodies and saying some nonsense prayers, just so he can touch their vital parts. You see? Yeah. So now the foreigners have separated from the Bengalis. So now on Parikram, you don't see any Narayan foreigners. There used to be hundreds of them, more than ISKCON, now finished. See, they come and go. The nonsense gurus come and go. Now you don't even hear of them anymore. You see, they're finished. You see. First of all, Narayan broke his own guru's order. He told Narayan, Keshav Maharaj, not to initiate. And he did. He broke the rules of his guru. And now he's paid the price. His institution is empty. You go down there, it's empty. There's nobody there. It's just an empty place. Yes? Microphone, because I can't hear you. Let me just finish this last quote. This man, Mohsin Hassan. Yeah, the 10th. After you, it is my decision has been made. Who will take over? And Prabhupada says, yes, all of them will take over. See, Prabhupada, he never names one person. How many swamis do you initiate? American, I'm speaking about 10. You have 10 swamis. Outside of swamis, lower. Now they're competent. They can. Not only the swamis, even the grihasthas. They are called dasa adhikari and brahmacharis. Everybody can. Whoever is initiated, he is competent to make disciples. See? It's not a cultism. You see? Where the disciples of one guru stays in one house and another disciples and a guru stays in another house separate from ISKCON. This is all politics and nonsense. We should all be together. You see? But some of our leaders are thinking, oh, if my disciples mix with other disciples, maybe they'll leave me and I won't get my guru dakshina to build my samadhi. You see? Otherwise, why the separatism? We should all be together like we were when Prabhupada was here. We were all together. Sannyasi. I was a sannyasi. I slept on the same floor that the brahmachari did. I got bitten by the same rats they did. They went to me and they went to someone else. The cockroaches were on me and they went to the guy next to me. There was no separatism. I didn't have my own room. I didn't have my own prasadam. I ate what everybody else ate. When they came with the maha, I got a little piece like everybody else did. This is how it was during Prabhupada. Everybody was the same. Although we had different duties. That's different. But everybody was the same. It's one and different simultaneously. But after Prabhupada, everything became a cult thing. A personality thing. My guru is better than your guru. And this and that and all this nonsense. This is all nonsense. It's all maya. It's not Prabhupada. Anyway, Prabhupada says we're all competent. No, there's nobody. And I looked up successor, and that's what I found. And yes, so now what's your question?
What I've heard is that there's something, some movement is going on from the part of this country. Krishna West, what is that?
Oh, that's a complete nonsense. To westernize, just like Kirtananda Christianized ISKCON, where everybody wore Benedictine robes with the hood, and they chanted not Hare Krishna, but Lord, please engage me in your service. That's how they chanted. The arati was in English, old time English, with no kartals, no mridanga, no harmonium. There was a symphony. And you couldn't dance. You sat in church pews, in church style. And next to Prabhupada was Jesus. And everybody called each other brother or sister. And they had Christian names, not Sanskrit names. So he Christianized. And he wore a crown with two Doberman pincers that he would bring into the temple. Can you imagine bringing dogs in front of Radha Krishna? I mean, this is what went on. So now, the new thing is, like the Pope is, he's saying the Pope is saying those who have aborted children, this is the year of mercy. You can come back to the church. See, they're compromising. So this Krishna West is nothing more than a compromise so he can get more disciples and more money for his samadhi. That's all it is. And he's breaking Prabhupada's teachings by marrying gays, which is not in the Shastras, in any Shastra, Christian, Hindu, Muslim. There is nothing in the Shastra that says two men get married. In fact, marriage is for progeny, for pops to increase, and you have to make your son or daughter Krishna conscious. So, how do you get a son and a daughter from two men? I don't know, unless you adopt them. But it's not natural. The sex is not natural. That's why in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned where the homosexuals come from. They were born from the behind of Brahma. Yeah, it says in Bhagavatam. I have the verse. They're born from the behind of Brahma, and when they came out, they came running after Brahma to have sex. He had to go to Krishna to be saved. Because they came running after him with lust. So this is all nonsense. You know. This is Kali Yuga. You gotta expect these things. Prabhupada says that after the pure devotee leaves, there's disorientation and disruption. And it's up to the unflinching faith of the devotees in the guru to set matters straight. That's why I'm here, to set it straight by giving quotes, not from me, from Prabhupada. And if you want to see the homosex, we can discuss that. I got about 10 quotes, and it will disgust you. It's so disgusting. So, any other questions?
Control about the fuel is going to be exhausted by 2022.
He said what?
Fuel.
Petrol.
Diesel, gas, all the airplanes. Two wheelers, four wheelers,
they're
depending upon the fuel.
Fuel, yes.
According to Prabhupada, in 1972, one disciple asked Prabhupada, how long this fuel is going to be. Prabhupada told, after 50 years, the fuel will be exhausted and what the rascals are going to do. That was Prabhupada's answer.
Well, I haven't seen that yet in any of the books or publications. About that, but we know that Saudi Arabia has already admitted they only have enough oil for the next 20 years, and we see climate change being observed all over the world. The World Bank has predicted that from Delhi to Agra will become uninhabitable by 2025 because the water table has dropped over 60 feet in 5 years. So that means you have to dig deeper and deeper to get water. And I know for a fact in Rajasthan, every year 100 to 200 villages, people leave because there's no more water. So there's a water crisis not only in here, but you go to South India, they have a terrible water crisis. There is no more water. So, this is due to the fact that Prabhupada says that Krishna takes away, as Kali Yuga, advances and as we rape the earth, we're raping the earth of all its natural resources. We're exploiting them for our sense gratification. And therefore, everything is being taken away from us. So many things will happen. And Prabhupada said the reaction to this is within 1 second, 300,000 people can die from an earthquake and tsunami, which happened a few years ago. In a second. Huh? Yeah, within a second, 300,000 people died. That's the reaction. And now if you see the news, every day there's floods here, drought here. Saudi Arabia got cyclones. They never had cyclones in their history. Two of them. They're getting cyclones in the desert. There was flooding in Dubai. They never had a flood in 5,000 years. So everything's changing because of the rape of the earth. So yes, everything is going to be reduced. Water, oil, everything's going to be reduced. Prabhupada said it's going to get so reduced we're going to end up eating each other. Scientists are now really experimenting on protein because they feel that soon there won't be any protein. So they're experimenting with insects and worms. We'll be eating worms and insects. So you better get out now. You better go back to Godhead now because you don't want to come back here. Who knows what you're going to be eating. Anyway, now we close. It's 9:15. So come next week, 5:30, and we can discuss more. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees. Jai.